Mike Wilner joins us on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
So you're back from Florida. How do you feel?
Sore.
Yeah, but that's
colder
no different
than I was.
That's no different than normal. You're always sore, aren't you?
You're generally sore, but this is a little different than normal. But,
specific soreness.
Relaxed and refreshed.
Good. You sound refreshed.
Thank you.
That's good. So initial reaction to the Chavez-Hendricks deal?
That's fine. I mean, you always trade a middle reliever for a starting pitcher 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Aaron Sanchez was a middle reliever.
Sanchez was not a middle reliever. Aaron Sanchez was a late inning reliever.
Okay.
Liam Hendricks was not one of your top four relievers. And yeah, he had a very good year. He has a good arm. He's an intriguing guy, and I liked him a lot. You think that maybe this can turn into something, but Jesse Chavez is already something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already a guy who will start, who can be a decent starting pitcher, and that's what the Blue Jays need, is a decent starting pitcher. His peripherals were good.
Yep.
That's the thing that you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And starting pitcher depth is really important. And now here's a guy who fits in at the bottom of your rotation.
Yeah, if he was an ERA plus guy of 96 last year, 2014 ERA plus of 108. And if you're not familiar with ERA plus, 100 is league average. The year before that, 99. If you get that from Jesse Chavez in 180 innings, the guy could be like a 15 game winner like that.
Yep.
But that's what I would have said about the Blue Jays rotation at the beginning of the year. Now, they were all pretty lousy at the beginning of the year, and nobody was pitching to league average levels. And that's why they had such a brutal record. And it was only, at worst, they were 7 games under 500. But imagine where they would have been without that incredible offense. It is interesting to hope that you get league average from a guy who's a fly ball pitcher in this ballpark, leaving the spacious field, whatever they're calling it, O.co in Oakland right now. But we would have said the same thing against about Marco Estrada. In fact, we probably did. And you know what? I think people are also forgetting that Marco Estrada gave up 24 home runs for the Blue Jays this year, which is only 5 fewer than he gave up in Milwaukee when he led the National League 2 years ago. I don't know. There are pros and cons on both sides of things of the ledger. I guess he's a different pitcher now than he was as a Blue Jay. In that he's changed his arsenal a little bit, relies a little more heavily on the cutter. You've talked to plenty of Oakland A's people who've seen him a whole lot more, and you saw him from his time in Toronto. He wasn't good against the Blue Jays in limited starts against them as well. But what do you make of the guy? Like, is there potential for better than average stuff from Jesse Chavez, or is that like his ceiling, 100 ERA plus?
No, I don't think I'm not comfortable with suggesting, what anyone's ceiling might be or what anyone's floor might be. Jesse Chavez, I can't remember whether it was 13 or 14 where he got off to an incredible start
with
Oakland and was one of the top pitchers in the league for the first month or two of the season. And
yeah, he was a shaking their fantasy heads. Baseball
why,
option.
Why didn't the Blue Jays let this guy go and all that stuff? So certainly he's got it in him to be good, but he doesn't have to be great. I mean, it just has to be a reliable starting pitching option, and that's what the Blue Jays got him for. So, I think that this is a deal where you're dealing from the middle of your bullpen to increase your starting pitching depth. You're dealing a guy who you hope might be able to give you something, or a guy who gives you something. And that's why you make this deal. Liam Hendricks wasn't going to close for the Jays this year, and chances were, at best, he was going to be able to be the kind of starting pitcher that Jesse Chavez already is. So you go get that guy, and that's what they've done. This isn't a franchise-changing trade by any means.
No. At least we got a guy back who wears his hat flat-brimmed. But we were missing without Ricky Romero, so that's nice.
I don't know that people want you to bring up Ricky Romero when you're talking about a starting pitcher that the Blue Jays have just picked up.
That's a good point. Billy Beane going back to the well with the Blue Jays, too. I mean, maybe we're talking...
Farhan now. Billy Beane's the president of Oakland.
Okay.
Since Farhan's the GM.
You don't think he's involved in day-to-day operations at all or transactions like this?
Of course he is.
Yeah, I imagine he is as well. The pushback that some people might have when you're talking about this deal is that Jesse Chavez is in the final year of team control. He's a free agent at the end of 2016. So it's a one-year thing unless you re-sign him, which I don't imagine the Blue Jays are considering, where Liam Hendricks is under team control through 2019. He's a free agent in 2020. Is that, I don't know, maybe that's a good sign, though, Mike, in that the Blue Jays are thinking real hard about improving their team for 2016, even if it doesn't mean that it's a move looking half towards the future as well.
Yeah, I'm not willing to get into this level of depth about this trade. It's Liam Hendricks.
All
I mean,
right. It's all we have, Mike.
He had a really nice year out of the bullpen for the Jays. He was not good when the Blue Jays put him in position to protect leads. He was really good in the rest of the time. He's Liam Hendricks. He's the fifth reliever on this team, maybe the sixth. Yeah. You got a starting pitcher for him. I mean, that should be the end of it.
Fine.
Honestly, the team control thing doesn't mean anything. It's
okay.
You know, it's preferable to have as many years of control as you can get out of a guy. But look, you're looking at, you needed starting pitching depth. You got starting pitching depth. That's what happened here.
But Mike, what does this mean for the future of this franchise that Jesse Chavez is a Blue Jay once again?
Nothing.
Any more on Jesse Chavez you want to get into?
Really, honestly, no. I mean, if he's the fourth or fifth starter this year, that's fine. If he winds up being a Carlos Villanueva-type swingman, that's fine, too.
Sure.
The guy who can pitch in the big league.
I wonder, okay, I hope it's step one of a multi-step process of adding starting pitchers. Do you expect it to be? How many starting pitchers do you think this team would like to have?
Oh, at least one more now, and preferably two. You know, you right now you're looking at a rotation that's Stroman, Estrada, Dickey, and then two of Chavez, Hutchinson, Sanchez, probably. So you'd like to get another guy in that mix. You'd love to get a third additional pitcher so that you can have your five and not have Hutchinson, Sanchez, or Chavez as part of it. So Sanchez can stay in the bullpen and Chavez can be your sixth starter and Hutchinson can be your seventh. That's perfect. But, by no means is this the end of anything. It's November 21st. There's still, you have to make these trades when they present themselves. And I know that last night I was dealing with a lot of Twitter outrage about this trade, which blows my mind. Yeah, it's gotten to the point where it's just silly now. But
people are that worked up about Liam Hendricks?
You just spent 10 minutes talking about it.
Yeah, but that's my job. And what else are we going to talk about for the next 15 minutes?
All right. Well, I mean, we could talk about fantasy camp. But look, this is the thing. And one would think that people would have learned this lesson from the trade deadline when everybody got their shorts in a knot when they made the Tulowitzki trade before the Price trade. You make deals when they present themselves. This doesn't mean this is all they're doing. This doesn't mean that they think Jesse Chavez is the solution to all their starting rotation problems. What it means is this was a trade that they could make yesterday, and it's a good trade for the team, so they made it.
What does it mean for the world economic market, though, Mike? What do you think about it?
Well, we have to see, because it's Friday. That deal happened after the market's closed, so have to see how they open on Monday.
All right, let's talk about fantasy camp then, if you want to talk about fantasy camp. You know what? It's actually, maybe it's a good sign, Mike, that people are worked up about a minor trade like this. There's just so much interest in this team. Could you maybe see that side of it?
Yeah, no. I think it's that people need something to be angry about.
All right.
The Leafs are playing well, and the Jays haven't given them anything to be angry about for a while. So, you know, we live in an age of manufactured outrage. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. All right, so tell me about fantasy camp. What was the highlight?
The highlight, I think, was scooping a bad throw from Roberto Alomar at first base.
Really?
Yeah.
What, did he kind of like lollygag it over to you? Bad throw. What's that about?
No, after we played the championship final, in which I sort of drove in all three of our runs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I see what you're trying to say there.
No,
I know. You're trying to downplay how awesome you are.
No, I'm trying to downplay the fact that I came up with the bases loaded and hit a ground ball to third that the guy threw away and all three runs scored.
Oh, that's not called driving in three runs then, Mike.
That's why I said sort of.
No, but it's not even sort of.
I was hitting three runs score.
Okay. We're getting into semantics. Continue.
So after the game, that error got us from down 4-0 to down 4-3. And then they kind of put it away an inning later. Their shortstop, a fine young man named Ted Drew Smith, who wound up being the MVP of the camp, just belted a double into the gap in left center. He was an outstanding baseball player.
That's a baseball name, Mike. Come on.
Ted Drew Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
Drew Ted Smith?
Smith on Twitter now.
Ted Drew? Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Either an actor or a professional athlete. That's three names is plenty. That's good.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to let him know.
Okay.
So he drilled a double into the gap. He played flawless short. He was a really, really good ball player. And Roberto Alomar, who was our coach, was impressed. And after the game, he took him out to the middle of the field and said he wanted to give him some double play feeds.
That's awesome.
You know, so I said, well, that's happening. I'm taking the throws at first because I managed to only get two defensive innings in the entire camp.
Because your spine is made of dust.
Back. Yeah. So Alomar took some grounders and he flipped them over to Ted and Ted threw them over to me. And then they changed things around and Ted was feeding Robbie and he bounced a throw and I picked it. And that was for me, that was absolutely the highlight of the camp. Playing catch with a Hall of Famer, you got to be kidding me.
That is, when they talk about, fantasy camp, that is a fantasy. Like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. Like, that is...
It's now number two on my all-time athletic moments career-wise.
What was number one?
Stopping Paul Henderson on a penalty shot.
It's pretty good.
That was awesome.
Was he trying full bore?
Yeah. It was a tie game with like 3 seconds left. He was absolutely trying. I was the only one in that entire arena that did not want the puck to go in.
And we'll get back to other things in a second. Did he shoot or deke?
He deked.
Wow.
Yeah, he went, he came in, faked right, went left, tried to go with the backhand, and I stuck out the right pad and just got the tiniest piece of it.
Wow, enough pumping your tires though for a second. Those are two impressive athletic feats. The Henderson one, clearly number one. I'm glad you didn't change the ranking. So I don't think I haven't talked to you since Josh Donaldson was named American League MVP, have I? No.
Nope.
So initial reaction to that, because I was, and maybe some people misunderstood me because I was filling in for Jeff Blair Tuesday to Friday this week on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and in talking about what I thought would take place in the voting, I said there's real good arguments to be made for Mike Trout, and maybe all the numbers arguments really point towards Mike Trout, save for WPA and a couple of other things, but that, yeah, if it's that close, I will give the nod to Josh Donaldson because I saw him every day, but I'm sure I might be feeling the other way if I cover the Angels and watch the Angels every day last season.
I honestly don't think there was an argument to be made for Trout over Donaldson.
How can you say there's no argument? He had him in on base, slugging, OPS.
By how much?
Significant, like in on base, like 20, 30 points.
Really? I realize that. I thought they were really, really close in everything.
I mean, they're close. Yeah, go ahead.
Donaldson blew him away in RBIs, which is a team-driven statistic, obviously.
I don't even look at that.
Most valuable teammate argument. But the biggest thing for me, they both play gold glove defense, so Trout did it in the middle of a diamond, and, mm-hmm. and Donaldson did it on the corner. But the biggest thing for me is the context-free nature of WAR. And, you know, WAR, Trout had a better WAR, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But WAR doesn't tell you about value in the story of a season. WAR tells you what should have happened and what happened, and more what should have happened than what did happen, what the batter could quote-unquote control. But it counts a home run when you're down 9-2 the same as a home run in the ninth inning when you're tied. And the fact that Josh Donaldson, what was it, three-quarters of his home runs tied the game or put the Blue Jays in the lead?
Yep.
He had three or four walk-off home runs.
Yes. His team was much better.
His team was much better, but I don't know what that has to do with him.
They had more opportunities to win. He was put in more opportunities to come through in those situations. He came through with them. And again, this is not a slagging of Josh Donaldson. And I feel like...
No, but I don't think that's part of the MVT argument I don't like. I don't like that, that very often it's based on who your teammates are, most valuable teammates.
Yeah, but that's what you're talking about with Donaldson. Because his teammates were better, he was in more situations to win games.
I don't know if I would make that argument. I think that Mike Trout, I wonder if you break down opportunity, how many opportunities Mike Trout had.
Somebody did this. I was reading
the same thing.
Like 30 more, and over over the course of a season, like that's a huge number. But it's something rather large. Like that Angels team was not good. Horrible that they were even in it down the stretch is incredible. Eric Ibar was hitting fifth. For long swaths of the season for the Angels, they were brutal.
They finished a game out of first place. I don't know that you can call that brutal.
They were only not brutal because they had Mike Trout. Yeah. Meh. Come on. Look at the makeup of that team.
I know. It was a terrible team. Baseball game. But they won a bunch of baseball games and not because just of Mike Trout.
But in large part because of Mike Trout.
The Blue Jays were a great baseball team that won a lot of games because of Josh Donaldson.
And again, I feel like I'm stuck in this. And it's not your fault, but I feel like I'm stuck in this place where I'm like trying to take the MVP away from Josh Donaldson. I'm not. But that you can say that Trout, there's no argument to
Trout
be made.
Trout was a clear second for me.
Okay, again, and we'll go back to on base. He had him by 31 points, did Mike Trout. Mike Trout had a 402 on base. Josh Donaldson, 371. Had him in slugging percentage at .590, where Donaldson .568. That's 22 points of slugging percentage. That's 31 points of on base. And
so it's 53 points of OPS.
Yes.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How many times did
Trout get intentionally walked? I'm interested in finding out.
Let's see. Intentionally walked 14 times.
All right, so that may well take care of the difference in on base right there.
That's a good point. Maybe. I hadn't considered that. But the slugging percentage.
That won't affect the slugging, right?
No. Yeah, you can't. And he played in a more difficult ballpark to hit in.
Yep.
So there's different factors. But that you can say that there's no argument for Mike Trout. Come on.
I think Mike Trout is a clear second. There's an argument, but the argument loses.
Yeah, okay. So that you've come off your position already because you said there was no argument.
Well, there's no argument that wins me over.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm not trying to, again, because I would have voted for Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, as you should have.
You know what's interesting as well? I don't know what's happened to Mike Trout as far as the stolen bases, because the guy stole 49 just 3 years ago. And I guess they've just put the stop sign on him. Although he was caught stealing seven times and only stole 11 bases, so maybe he's just slower now. He doesn't seem slower. In fact, though, but if you go by some of the best base running metrics, Josh Donaldson was a better base runner this year, which is weird.
Not a faster base runner.
But a better base runner.
I don't, obviously didn't see Mike Trout enough to be able to judge whether the not stealing bases was something intentional or whether he just picked some bad spots or whether he only tried to do it in really, really, really low leverage spots where it could have made a lot of difference and you paid for it. So I you know, I have no idea what the deal is with that. It's hard to imagine, though, that his at his age, he'd already start slowing down.
Yeah, because he's only, well, he finishes year 23 season. He's 24 now. This is a he's finished second now three times in the MVP voting, and he is 24. He's only have,
yeah, it's amazing.
He's only racked up one MVP. Is there some Mike Trout fatigue here, Mike? Because it's real sad if there is.
I can't imagine that there is. I don't think it works the same way as it does in basketball, where it feels like they get tired of giving the MVP to the same guy every year. Or when they decide, well, this year it's this guy's turn to win the MVP. I don't think that happens. I think each season is looked at as its own individual thing. And Josh Donaldson had a great season. You know, Miguel Cabrera won a triple crown. And say what you will about the validity of a triple crown, because we know now that batting average and RBIs really, you know, are those the things to make a triple crown out of? Probably not. But Miguel Cabrera won a triple crown, and nobody had won it in almost 40 years, so he gets an MVP, mm-hmm. when Mike Trout might have deserved it more. But like you said, he's 24.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of MVPs in this guy's future. Barry Bonds won 7 of them, so
yeah.
I don't think there's fatigue there.
Yeah, I hope you're right. But this is an incredible four-year stretch we're talking about for Mike Trout. He only has one MVP to show for it, though. I imagine there are more in his future. But, yeah, a tough way to lose, having that type of season, but losing to Josh Donaldson. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Ben Ennis, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, let's go back to this Blue Jays team and what they do in the rotation. And I've gone back and forth. We've talked about it. And I think at a certain point, we both agreed that it looked like the tea leaves were pointing us in a direction that Sanchez and Osuna were going to remain in the bullpen all season long. Now I'm hearing more stuff that it seems like Sanchez, Osuna's going to be there all season long in the bullpen, it seems like. And that makes sense, considering how recent the Tommy John surgery was and how good he was in the back end of that bullpen, that it's just a nice situation to just plug him back in there and not even have to think about it going into 2016. But that Sanchez was pretty good. He was this team's best starter when he went down with that oblique injury. I think it was an oblique injury. Whatever injury it was, that they might...
Rib cage, oblique, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. Something of that sort. That they might try him again in the rotation. He might be the guy that they do try and stretch out, which changes the outlook as well for this team if he is in the rotation, Mike.
Yeah, because now you need some more relievers. Now you traded Liam Hendricks and the world is ending. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do with your bullpen?
Yeah.
So, but Mark Lowe's not back. LaTroy Hawkins obviously not back.
Are we 100% that they don't go re-sign Mark Lowe?
No, but I think you can't assume that, you know, he now is just another free agent out there. That's all. So, you know, you can't count on him at all. If Aaron Sanchez goes to the rotation, then it's Osuna and Cecil, your big guys at the back. Maybe you get the Bo Schultz that you had in July, and you're thrilled by that. But if you get the one that you had in August, then you're less than thrilled. So you really only have two count-onable relievers in Cecil and Osuna if Sanchez goes back to the rotation. But Sanchez, you know, when he went down with that oblique, was the Blue Jays' best starter for a couple of turns through the rotation. So he's definitely worth taking a look. I still think they're leaning towards having him in the pen, the way Tony LaCava was talking at the GM meetings. And you know, we'll find out more, I guess, the winter meetings the next time we talk to him. But I think they're leaning towards having him in the pen. So to go out and pick up some more starting pitching. And there are a few starters outside that top tier of free agents who are pretty attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, like who specifically?
Giovanni Gallardo is one of them.
Yeah, he was qualified though, right?
I don't.
Yeah, yes, he was.
But
he was.
That's all right. That's okay. I mean, you're giving up the 26th draft pick. Mm-hmm. Not the end of the world. Jeff Samardzija is out there, also qualified.
That's a weird one. I don't know what Samardzija is going to do.
Yeah, I don't really get the Samardzija thing, because I would have thought that, you know, he his ideal is to take a one-year rebuild your value contract.
Yeah.
So why not accept the qualifying offer?
Unless he thinks that, whoa, maybe I'm not that good. Like maybe I thought I was better than I really am, and I'll take whatever four-year deal I can get right now.
But then maybe you don't go out with a draft pick attached to you, and you know. Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird one for me. But he's a good rebuild candidate, I think.
Yeah, but not at Rogers Center and not in that division.
You would have said the same thing about Marco Estrada.
Yeah. I don't know.
He got a great defense and a great offense. And, you know, the offense helps for sure. The defense can make a pitcher look a lot better than he is.
I don't know what to think of Ian Kennedy, Mike, because I know I laugh at the home runs he gave up in that ballpark. Like, that's ridiculous. That's insane. To give up 31 home runs pitching half of your games at Petco Park is that's otherworldly.
That shouldn't happen. I'm interested in the home road splits because, you know, not only do you play 81 games at Petco, but you play 9 in San Francisco and 9 in L.A.,
You're
playing 100 games at least in ballparks that are really, 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 really hard to hit home runs in.
He gave up 19 of those home runs in 16 games at Petco.
That's crazy. That's legitimately insane.
He strikes people out though.
I don't think much about Ian Kennedy. Not a guy I'd be interested in giving up a draft pick.
Oh no, but it's. I don't know. He struck people out. A lot of people.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Yeah.
And when he didn't, they hit the ball very, very far.
Very far. Real far. All right. That'll do it. Before we go.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you're going to the winter meetings, I imagine, right?
So I'm told.
Where are the winter meetings this year?
Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. That'll be exciting.
I expect David Price to sign something there.
Really? That's what I was going to ask you.
That's where he lives.
Oh. So during the winter meetings, David Price is going to be off the table, you imagine?
I think so.
That'll be exciting. And it won't be with the Blue Jays, probably. Like, what kind of odds?
I can't imagine it's with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. No, I would think it's Cubs or Dodgers and probably Cubs.
All right.
I wonder if the Raw Dickey will stop by because he lives around there too. See him.
Yeah, maybe he will make an appearance. Either way, we'll be listening. You'll be all over this radio station because really, it's I know it's off season in name, but I think has there been a day that you have not appeared on this radio station since the season ended?
Yeah, there's been one or two, but not too many. I mean, this is one of the times where I lament the fact that baseball is not like hockey because hockey really they're smart. You know, they. The playoffs are way too long, but then the Stanley Cup's over, and a week later there's the draft, and a week later free agency opens, and they get it all done in 5 days, and then from the first week of July to the beginning of September, everyone's just at the cottage for 2 months not doing anything.
So smart. You don't generally think of hockey people being smart, but they are.
I know. Sometimes.
Yeah, because all
Maybe
of your...
Maybe that's just laziness. Maybe they want to take the time off, but good for them.
Good for them. Bad for you.
It's a shame. It's a shame baseball. I mean, I like the fact that the free agent season is long, that people are taking their time and making sure they're making good decisions and really reviewing their options. But it does lead to, you know, guys like me being on call.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Pitchers and catchers, 3 months away, Mike.
But I was right there. I would say I can't wait to get to Dunedin. I was right there. It's going to be very, very strange to walk into that stadium and A, not walk directly into the trainer's room, but also, you know, be on the other side again.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to it happening because I'm already pining for baseball again. We all are in this city.
As you should.
Thank you, Michael.
All righty.